Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no!
Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this?
What is... I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising
people. Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.
Hello, pod people, and welcome to another deluxe Dave Weekly comprising copious comedians, fecund features, lashings of laughter, and, well, me, Ben Shires. I know that's a bit of a letdown following my alliteration-heavy build-up, but I literally couldn't think of any more. Literally! Yep, come on! You're right, yep, disappointing. After that, I didn't really deserve a B-word preceding my name. Anyway, this week we're joined by two very funny comedians in the shape of Sam Simmons and Joe Lycett. An interesting fact about the two of them is that they're both Australian, apart from Joe. Also, they're both great guys in real life. I can't comment on their fictional personas, as I know very little about them, but this dearth of information just goes to show how aloof the unreal versions of them must be. And talking about things that seem unreal, we've also got Rob Beckett opera singing, surely a phrase that has never been uttered before and, on this evidence, should probably be never heard again. Anyway, it looks like producer Joel is trying to give me my P45 now, so I better get off. Oh, I've got one. Booted Ben. Take that, the man. And by the man, I mean you, Joel. And go get me a coffee, please. We've got Sam Simmons with us on the Dave Weekly. Hello, Sam.
Hey, man. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. How are you doing?
I'm good. Pretty good.
Excellent. Just to clear up any confusion, if people don't know who Sam is, he hasn't got...
He's huge in Australia.
And you are Australian as well. That's the weird thing about your voice.
There's lots of Brits over there that are huge in Australia that aren't even big here.
Oh, really?
Stephen K. Amos. Actually, no, he's big here, isn't he?
He is. I mean, he's relatively well known, but is he massive in Australia?
He's massive in Australia. Actually, there's heaps of them.
Yeah.
But I won't name any more because maybe, it won't sound good.
We're in danger of just naming lots of famous comedians.
Well, Adam Hills is massive here as well, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, he did really well. He had a show on for the Paralympics.
He's
footless. Called The Last Leg.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
No Foot, we call him back home.
Yeah. Another politically correct Australian nickname.
What does that mean? Are you saying we're backwards? You are, aren't you? It's so anti-Bidean over here. It is. It's very anti-Bidean. I have all these snooty people that come to the show. Snooty posh Sohoians.
Yeah.
We're travelling in from Hackney. Anyway, and just come in there and judge me like, the anti-Bidean's being absurd, is he? Well, I wonder if he can do it as well as us. Anyway.
So, I mean...
I don't even like you people.
It's a great start. You just used the word anti-Bidean there. I remember speaking to an Australian once who said, we don't have that word in Australia because it means other side of the world, and so you wouldn't call yourself an anti-Bidean. Is that true?
Really? That's not the conversation we just had before we started talking about Back to the Future with Christopher Lloyd. That makes no sense. Is that in reverse?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, I didn't know that.
So you could call us Antipodean as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Well, I will.
That's one to slip into your lexicon.
So that makes no sense. When I say I'm anti-Bidean, that means I'm anti you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I've been doing that for a long time.
So I've taken offence.
Okay, sorry. So
thank you. Thank you for the apology. For the offence that you didn't know you caused.
Yeah, I didn't know.
What sort of intrigues me about one of the things that you're all about is you had this almost a past life as a zookeeper or a trainee zookeeper.
Yeah.
So how did that fit in? Was that to do with kind of growing up in Australia with a very unique ecosystem and
I'm terrible at math, so I wasn't able to actually get into veterinary science. I wanted to be a vet. And then so I just pushed at the zoo, and then I got into, I fell into it like a trade. and started working with elephants and seals. Well, actually, I first started working with Australian native mammals, which is really, really boring. Sorry, marsupials, just boring animals. Really, kangaroos and wombats, boring.
I thought you were going to say you fell into the zoo. I was like, that's a really bad thing to do.
No.
Do not fall in.
No,
there.
Nothing weird. No, backwards wombat action. and then I started working with elephants and seals, and it was amazing. And then I was about to be sent to the Cocos Islands with all these female elephants that were coming out from Thailand. They were in quarantine there.
Watch out, Sam Simmons. Oh. Female elephants.
Anyway, and then so I was going to be sent out there. And at the same time, I was then offered this amazing gig working in radio in Australia with an amazing network over there, which is kind of like it's your BBC Six, but better. It really is. It's like the BBC Six actually.
Is this the Triple J thing?
It's this Triple J. Yeah. They modelled their station on Triple J. So I was offered work there. My choice was basically to run away and join the circus or go be a clown, essentially. So I chose a clown. I don't know whether I've chosen the right thing. I miss the zoo, but anyway.
Yeah, I think, like we sort of touched upon just then, Australia's got this amazing flora and fauna connection.
Not really. It's really boring. Actually, you guys have got some boring. You got hedgehogs. I mean, that's about it. You used to have lions, though. There were lions in, anyway, it was many years ago.
100,000 years ago, there was monkeys in London. I know that.
There were not.
Yeah, they find bones on the Thames occasionally.
There's that awesome monkey story from, where is it?
Hartlepool.
That's a great story. I love the Hartlepool monkey story. He hung as a Frenchman.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
We actually thought he was quite a clean
living
Frenchman.
You think Queenslanders and people from Adelaide are not quite right. What are people from Hartlepool like?
Yeah, well,
I can't believe they did that.
He's unwashed. We can't understand him. We don't trust him. He must be French.
They put him on trial.
Absolutely.
So he was in a box. You know, little beret with a baguette.
Yeah.
I love it. Anyway. Don't hang monkeys.
He was hung. I mean, he apparently had a soft spot for Napoleons and casual sex.
Yeah, yeah.
So
what does that mean? Oh, right, the French. Yeah, sorry.
What are you saying about monkeys?
I know primates. Yeah. What do you mean? Terrible animals to work with, by the way. They're terrible.
Oh, really? Hmm. One of the things that I love about Australian wildlife, here's a fact for you.
Right.
Koalas.
Yeah,
here we go. Almost indistinguishable fingerprints to humans.
I didn't know that.
Isn't that incredible?
No, I didn't know that. I'll give you one then about koalas as well. They on the male, they've got like basically, I had to do this one day, they've got like a sex gland on their chest.
Mm.
Now, basically secretes like, I don't know, it's like a viscous fluid. It'd be like a mixture of like eucalyptus and sperm, right? But it's not, it won't get you pregnant. Anyway.
You've tried.
What the males do, they go up the trees and they leave this scent, the females smell it. But there was this one koala, his had kind of like closed over. So I had to spend an entire day just rubbing lotion into his chest. I basically wanked a koala for like half a day.
Oh.
There you go.
And did he leave his fingerprints all over you?
Huh?
Did he leave his fingerprints all over you?
I'm not weird. I didn't let him touch me back.
This is a one-way thing.
Yeah.
Know that. This is a job for me.
But I miss that stuff. Like, I seriously miss the zoo. I miss the camaraderie. Because, like, seriously, the comedy world is absolutely fickle.
Mm.
And, like, you're just surrounded by egos. Like, oh, how'd you get that gig? Where'd you get that? Oh, why are you doing that? Oh, that sounds like his joke. It's like, whatever, shut up. Like, back at the zoo, it was just pretty basic. Have you shoveled the shit? Let's go have some chips. Like, that's it.
Let's talk about your show that you're doing at the Soho Theatre at the moment, because it's all, it was called About the Weather, isn't it? And I think today is a perfect example of that, because throughout the UK, mainly not right here, but it snowed.
Did it snow today?
My Facebook feed was literally top to bottom snow statuses.
When in London?
Some parts of London, yes.
Oh, that is so exciting. So potentially over the next month, I'm going to get snowed on.
You are going to feel some.
That's really, really exciting. I cannot wait for that.
Does it snow a lot in Adelaide?
No, not at all. No, it's basically a city built in a desert. There's none of that. We do have snowfields in Australia, though.
Mm, yeah. I know it snows some places.
Yeah.
But so is snow for you quite an exciting feature still?
Oh, massively. I can't wait.
It's one of those weird things. If you come from somewhere that's snowy all the time, it's just an inconvenience.
Yeah.
And yet, if you don't know snow very well, it's the most magical thing.
I will be dancing in it. I'm going to be, I cannot wait. Like licking it with my mouth open, doing all that stuff, rubbing windowsills. I don't know. Putting my sausages out there to freeze, whatever.
Mm.
I don't know what you do in snow.
Yeah.
But
all
no,
of those things.
Really looking forward to it. That's excellent. The show's not about the weather at all, though.
No. But do you want to. it's a great segue though. Do you want to kind of explain, because you kind of, it's from my understanding how the weather can be used as a springboard to talk about all sorts of other things.
Well, it's like this. Do you know what it is? The whole show is about it's an inability to small talk. It's just... it's this. It's just this right now.
Perfectly demonstrated.
Look, it's even... Oh, this sounds so lame. It's a little bit of... Oh, no. Can I say that?
Yeah.
It's a bit... I think I wrote a fucking rom-com. It's a bit of a romantic comedy. It's like a it's a one-man play with me perving on a girl on a bus. And I think that it's all reciprocated, but none of it is. And it's me trying to talk to her for an hour, and it doesn't come out quite well. And at the same time, I'm at home as this lonely guy trying to construct an IKEA coffee table, but I can't. And then at the end, there's a massive reveal where I construct a 6-foot-high Trojan wooden something.
Oh.
Anyway, it's a really great big reveal, so it's kind of fun. But it's just a story about like communicating not well, which sounds not funny at all.
So it's the pre-stage to Boy Meets Girl. It's just boy sees girl.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah. I've noticed chicks in particular love it. Mm. I don't know, this is for Dave. This is like a real bloke channel, isn't it? Bring your girlfriend. That's a thing. It's a real date show.
Yeah, first dates, you know.
And there's all that weird shit that men like that I'll do in it. I've got my weird food abuse and all that type of stuff.
You know all the stuff, the man stuff.
Yeah.
I would say, and this is very sincere, if you haven't checked out Sam, and I'm speaking to the listenership now, if you haven't checked out Sam Simmons, there's loads of clips online. Download his podcast, which is amazing.
Oh, thanks for liking the podcast.
Yeah, I really, really like it. I think it's such a great insight into the way that your mind works.
Yeah, cool. Well, it's very old, but I stand by it. I love it.
No, I think it's absolutely great.
There's something that's great to point toward, if you are interested, is I did a TED talk last year in Sydney.
I've
I'm really proud of that because it's kind of it's the sentiment of what I'm trying to do.
Yeah,
I've just finished my own series back at home in Australia, so hopefully that'll come out here.
Yeah. Oh, and so this is your problems.
Yeah.
Show. Yeah.
Now that
yeah.
one's really out there.
So that yeah,
because pretty exciting.
So Sam's been doing a sitcom, really, isn't it? But
yeah, kind of. It's well, look at that. They wanted a sketch show. Now sketch over here is massive. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Over in Australia, we do it terribly, and also I think sketch can be pretty daggy. I mean, I've seen amazing sketch from over here. Big Train, like Jam is like one of the most extraordinary things. I don't think it even went to air. Is that right? Or it got pulled.
Yeah. I think it was. I think it did encounter some problems. I mean,
it was wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
Like, well, it was amazing. But I was trying to do something with this. It has got narrative structure. Because I've had people go, oh, it's like League of Gentlemen. It's nothing like that.
It is nothing like that. But from being a League of Gentlemen fan, I've only seen clips of problems.
Yeah.
But it does have that, I think it's got a sensibility. Which
absolutely.
And that sort of slight element of, I don't know, sometimes the taking things to an extreme and the macabre within the funny.
Completely.
And I love that kind of strand. And I think any show where you have a sidekick who is an anthropomorphized cat called Mr. Meowgy cannot
he's
be
wonderful.
Bad. he's so good.
He actually did a run at the Soho Theatre recently. He was
because he's a comedian too, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the best newcomer at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. Ronnie Cheng, who's a Malaysian Chinese comedian, full of rage, and I think potential actual superstar.
Yeah,
a pure stand-up, and he is a t-shirt philosopher with something to say because he does have a stance for being a Chinese Malaysian young male in Australia, so he has things to say, and it's amazing. He's incredible. So I cast all my favourite people in it.
Is it quite exciting to be working with people that you respect and you get on with as friends as well?
Yeah, well, I literally cast a show with the punks of Australian comedy. That's why Claudio Doherty's there, who's about to be a superstar here.
Yeah, yeah.
Dave Quirk's amazing as well. A couple of the older guys in the show are like the beginning of Australian stand up.
So, wow.
Yeah, it's a great little time capsule.
Excellent. And 2013, have you got any exciting plans?
I'm a wanker. I'm living in LA for 5 months.
Oh, wow.
Which is going to be fun because I thought I'd hate the place and I went there. Amazing.
Hello, Billy Big Balls. Someone's made it.
What does that mean? It's Billy Big Balls.
Billy Big Balls. You're all Mr. Hollywood now.
Well, no, but no, I'm over there developing stuff with like a really amazing network. So yeah. Pretty exciting.
Can you reveal which network?
No, because I'm developing.
Oh, okay.
So it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So I might just go there, sit in a room, and they go, hey, write something funny. But it was really amazing doing live comedy over there because they were just like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. They were really, really interesting. And also, there are a lot of Poms on the bill with me as well.
Mm.
And what I noticed is the Americans can actually understand the Australian accent a lot better than the British.
Mm.
Which doesn't, I don't know how that works, but yeah, there's something about the diction or something like that that they're just like, oh, right, we can actually understand every word. Whereas yeah. like, didn't understand that guy at all.
I think the British for them is too dry. It's like once you've progressed as their language has to get that twang,
yeah.
you can only understand things with a twang.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's quite interesting. I think dialect discussions sort of a brilliant thing, but I think you could be. With your Australian lilt, quite a success in America. I think they're ready for that kind of humour.
I don't know. No, they've got Jim Jefferies over there at the moment, so I think they're thinking all Australians are just like, you know, swearing and.
Are you going to have to start talking about who you shagged when you did it?
No. Not my thing. Not my thing at all. I think we're coming from very different places, me and Jim,
yeah,
that's for sure.
But I mean, the one unifying thing is you both have alliterative names. I think if we've proved anything,
yeah, there you go.
It's Americans like that,
which is really cool. I bought a T-shirt from American Apparel the other day that said SS. I was happy with that because it's got a big S and a little S.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
was just free advertising for them.
Also,
I want to do one of their adverts. You know, they're really sexy.
Yeah,
the adverts for American Apparel, but it's always just like some scantily clad, like you know, 19-year-old girl. At least 19. Just like there with her undies and a little, like you can see a vagina just hanging out of like some silk undies or something like that. I'd love to do one of those.
Hang on, but you'd
just
be
like
stood
with my
there.
Bald head and like just like reclining just with one nut out. I think it would be excellent.
You'd be wearing
they need to
an
do reverse,
SS t-shirt.
That, yeah, 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 they do need to do reverse American Apparel adverts with just really, really revolting looking men just revealing ghoulies and nipples and stuff.
But
like,
still
just
sexy
they need
girls.
To. Just, no, they can have their page yeah. and we'll have our page.
Yeah.
Why not? Anyway,
mm. Yeah, you get your vagina out for American Apparel.
Yeah,
so.
Go on.
I think that's the right place to end this.
Is it really?
Sam Simmons, thanks for coming and chatting to us.
Oh, no, thank you very much. It was really fun. Not.
From the mellifluous voice of Sam Simmons to the rather more bilious one of Rob Beckett, here's the old cheeky chap opera singing.
Welcome to Educating Rob. I'm here with comedian Lloyd Griffith, who also sings at a professional level. He's here to teach me how to do some opera. So, Lloyd, what's the one thing I should know before I start?
There's quite a lot of things you should know.
Yeah, but one key thing. There should be. Well, there's always one key thing I should learn before I start anything. Just give me a bit of help.
Diaphragm.
Diaphragm?
Yeah, that is the one thing that that throughout this whole lesson...
Isn't that what you put in a woman to stop babies?
So, a diaphragm is something you've got in underneath your belly, underneath
the six pack.
And that's where every voice like comes from. So, yeah. The key thing to learn today and remember throughout this lesson is that you're going to have to use your diaphragm.
Okay.
And then we'll take it from there.
Good.
Okay, so what we need to do first off is find out where your range is. So, first off,
yeah.
you've got two voices. You've got the chest voice.
Yeah.
Which is what you're speaking now, so speak now.
Hello.
Hello. And then you've got your head voice, which is your falsetto, so you're like, you're kind of, in this day and age, like your Justin Timberlake voice, so you go, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, so you've got two voices there.
Will it help if I take my shoes off, like just don't?
No, okay. Please just stay dressed.
Yeah.
So we need to find out where your range is, so if I can just get you to sing this note.
Right.
Is this the first problem?
Yeah.
Can you hear that note?
I can hear a noise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go do it again.
La.
La.
Oh, God.
I can't hear it like you can hear it.
Okay, so this might be a long lesson. Okay, so... So, can you hear this note? There you go. So you can hear it, and you can... It just takes time to channel that...
Okay.
...from your ears into your brain, which that's probably the issue...
Yeah.
And then out through the mouth.
I've
the
got
teeth.
A big mouth, will that help?
Yes, no, not at all.
Okay.
Well, actually, in future it will be, but the fact that you can't hear the note is the main issue.
Ears so first.
Ears first, then brain, then mouth.
Cool.
But you channeled it from your stomach.
Okay.
So.
Oh.
you, you had it first, so just concentrate, like, just...
Yeah.
Just relax. Just go down. Oh, dear me. Put three fingers in your mouth. Yeah. Oh. One it there. Take your fingers out, but keep it that. Yeah, yeah. Now, that tongue needs to be there, exactly that. Now, try and flatten the tongue, just, but relax the tongue.
Oh, I'm actually trying, which is the worrying thing.
It is the worrying thing, isn't it, for both you and I.
You and me.
Yeah, so we want a bit more like, ha, 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 just sing any note you want. Just, ha, 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 whatever note you want. Just one note, though. Just but keep that one note. Imagine it's on a washing line. You want that one note throughout that. So, just ha. It's not going to be that good. That is good. Do that again. Don't do the hands. Move. Put your hands in your stomach. Now, that's good. La.
And indeed those feet, and indeed those feet, and indeed those feet.
So yeah, you're just not concentrating at the end, you're doing your ADHD thing again.
Yeah, because I get bored by the end of it.
Yes, I know, and I'm bored of Wolf, but I'm still going.
I've got you for an hour, mate. I'll make you give me a massage later.
Yeah, you've got 7 minutes left.
And indeed those feet, in ancient times.
Shant. Don't call me a shant, you.
So this week, you were trying your hand and voice at opera singing.
Yeah, it was hard, mate.
Was it hard?
So hard.
Why?
Because I'm terrible at singing, and I was trying, but it was one of those things where I thought, it's going to take me years and years just to be okay. At this time, I was trying, but I'm not a natural. I think that is fair to say.
It's not in your skill set.
Yeah, not. Well, because I did it, and I obviously tried really hard. And when we come out, the producer went to me, did you do bad on purpose? I was like, no, not at all. That was me trying. That was me giving it a go.
It's like sports day all over again, isn't
it? Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, opera singing is a little bit out of the ordinary. We wanted to take you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
It's not like normal singing, is it?
No. It's weird. You have to do like, he was going, just sing from your stomach. I was like, what?
Do you have to sing? Grab your stomach and make it into your mouth?
Yeah, you have to like, hold it. Yeah, it's probably talking through the belly button. And I was just like, well, how do I get air there? Do you know what I mean? You can't just go sing from your stomach. You start me going, oh, like kick a ball with your elbow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's something different, isn't it? That's elbowing.
So is it a skill now that you feel confident in cracking out? Could you give me a little blast?
Well, I try, but the problem is I was trying to listen when he was telling me what to do, but I've got a bit of ADHD, so I couldn't really. I've got bored.
You're a man who takes a phone to have a poo with.
Yeah, sure.
To read, yeah. I should say. You haven't got an app to help
and
ease it out.
An iPod, just in case.
Yeah.
So I just found myself just sort of, because I sort of do something, and if I can do it straight away, oh, I'll do that, fine. But if it takes a bit of hard work, I'm like, I'll leave it. I'll do something else I'm quite good at. But I can try and do some singing. I was singing Jerusalem. He had a go at me because I didn't even know what Jerusalem was. And did those feet. I mean, I can't.
Right,
do it.
I think we should stop it there. I think.
I thought, okay, I'll try and do this. And I sat down and I went, I literally still have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, in fairness, we didn't give you a chance to have a warm-up, but I don't think that would have any effect whatsoever.
Because I've got no idea. All I do is I just say the words out loud and hope.
You could have been as warm as a McDonald's apple pie and still not got anywhere.
It was awful. We've heard what happened before, so
yeah.
It's just, I don't think I should be doing it anymore.
Well, the proof is in that scalding pudding, Rob. I don't think you cut out to be an opera singer.
No.
So in this instance, I think I know what you're going to say, but which wins out? Is it opera? Is it education? Or is it Rob?
Well, it's a good skill to have, opera singing, but like you say, when am I going to use it? So it seems silly to sort of pressure myself into years of studying for what is essentially a party piece. I might as well just get better at Down in a Pint. Do you know what I mean? Something I could probably
I think you'd
do.
Probably be a better singer after that anyway.
Yeah, well, I think so. I think I win. I think opera singing is fine, but I don't think it's necessary and it's too much hard work for what is really an annoyingly loud voice.
Yeah. Lloyd, I really hope you're listening to that. And so that does something to the scores. It means that Rob, for the first time, you're actually in the lead now. Yeah. Rob 3, Education 2.
Yeah.
It's literally on a knife edge. It's not literally on a knife edge. It's just metaphorically. To celebrate the brand new series of Dave's One Night Stand, we're searching for Britain's best comedy club. We've rounded up some of the finest clubs from across the UK, and now we want to find out which venue is the best of the best. Vote now at www.facebook.com/DaveWittyBanter for your chance to win one of over 50 fantastic entertainment prizes, including a 55-inch 3D smart TV, Apple iPads and digital radios. Go on, do it. Now here's Joe Lycett. Hello, Joe Lycett, and welcome back to the Dave Weekly.
Hello, I'm on my own this time.
You are. Well, this is the thing, because you've been on this show now, this is unprecedented, the third time in a year that you've been on.
Oh, hang on. So when was the first time?
The
Leicester.
First time you were in Leicester with Greg Davis and Rod Gilbert and the like.
And now we've got rid of that.
We streamlined
chaff.
The dross. They're away.
And we're on to the wheat.
And, well, there was another point where there was more distilling needed.
Yeah.
Because you did Comedy in the Dark fairly recently as well
and
for us.
And I was on with... hang on now.
David Morgan.
It was David Morgan.
And Josh Whitaker and Eva Graham as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you were just milling around.
So this is unprecedented. You've not had any guests do three times in a...
Not in a year. Not in a calendar year.
Is that a badge of honour or is that slightly... desperate.
Well, I think basically you qualified as my co-host now. You've been on enough episodes that you
welcome listeners. On today's show, we'll be talking about me.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite an egocentric basis for a co-host, but I mean, it's good. I can't promise you many perks. I think pay's poor. The drinks are worse. You have to get your own, as you've
I
seen.
My own stocks.
Holding his own branded
are we
coffee.
To not say what.
It's a brand that doesn't like paying tax.
It rhymes, yeah, it rhymes with car schmucks.
Oh, I love Cafe Nero. What?
Yeah, and that's smashing.
But what you can do, Joe, is I'll allow you to write your own jingle if you want a theme tune. As long as you can do it now,
so
you can have
it. So
it's
the Dave Weekly Podcast.
Dave Weekly Podcast. You're on it.
It's the Dave Weekly Podcast.
That's really good. Where's this guy from? Don't be too good. I mean, there could be a point where you reach top billing and I'm
next
just
week,
an occasional contributor.
And only me hosting the...
It's a coup. You're Mark Thatcher. Get out. What's going on? No, I think it's quite... No, what I like to look at it as is we were kind of going through one of those sort of trial... Like, we were meeting up through friends to see if we got on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We had a couple of, like, friend dates.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we're on a one-on-one. But I've asked someone to give me a call halfway through just in case I need to get out.
Because it could
go wrong, obviously.
Who's ringing you?
My mum, but I'm going to pretend it's another person that's actually cool that can go off to.
I bet your mum's really cool.
No, she is really cool. Sorry, mum. She listens to all the shows.
What's her name?
Well, that is a question in itself, Joe, but we'll call her Jude. That's how she goes. She was christened Lorraine. But
oh, that's better. Hi, yeah. Lorraine.
Well, let's talk about dates, shall we? Because I think this is an interesting conundrum. We're on what we're calling a little date. I've called a date. There's a drink involved.
I brought condoms, so I'm hoping...
Always be safe.
Always safe on a date.
Yeah.
That's just to put on my fingers for a little joke later when we get desperate for conversation.
What's
the level of my comedy? Condoms on fingers.
Well, you haven't seen the fluid on Joe's fingers, so...
Yeah, I actually had a burrito earlier, so that is the fluid on my fingers.
Ooh, salsa.
Yeah, definitely be careful with that. That's why the condoms are out, so you don't get a burn.
Yeah, then. Exactly. It's a nasty sting.
It's a nasty burrito sting.
Depending on the chipotle that you...
We've all shoved a burrito up our ass in the past, haven't we?
Well, you say, yeah, well, I mean, I can't deny that. Yes, we have. Last time I got a burrito, which was just this weekend, they gave me a free orange juice whilst I waited. I thought that was really nice.
Oh, my God.
A good touch.
Not very Mexican, though, is
it's
it?
It's not very Mexican.
Should have tequila or...
I came in, and what I thought was very racially sensitive, and said, Ariba, get me a burrito. Mm. They didn't like that at all.
No.
But I think they're narrow-minded in there.
That's the equivalent of going into an Irish pub and going, diddly-dee, I like a Guinness, please, like that.
What, you're saying I shouldn't do that either?
It's probably not a great idea.
Oh, God. No wonder my Guinness is always taste funny. They've got an earthy quality to them. This is something that really interests me. So you're well known now, I would say. Maybe you wouldn't, but I would. Anyone who's been on BBC Primetime is well known. Like, if I can ask my grandma if she's seen you on telly, she says yes.
Since I stopped doing BBC Primetime.
Is there a reason for that?
Well, because nobody watched me when I was on BBC Primetime. I was the antidote to Primetime.
Mm. You were downtime.
It was downtime. Well, I don't know. It's an odd. That's the thing. The slot. So we're talking about Epic Win, which was like 5:30 on BBC One on a
Saturday night. So yeah,
which it's largely like kids. It's like a kids show that really, because you know, young hipsters like yourself, you'll be having like a pre nap before you go out to
a pre nap before pre drinks
Dulwich. And do all your ket or whatever it is you kids do.
Oh, you missed a good night though.
In East Dulwich, yeah. I've not really, people didn't really, and also I think the viewing figures were like fine but not brilliant for that. So nobody really knew that I did it. And I actually ask sometimes in comedy clubs, because they've got a bit of material about it, whether people watched it. And very rarely you'll get a response. Particularly now, obviously, because it was about 1.5 years ago that it went out, so people forget very easily.
They do. We have sieve-like minds in this society.
It's, yeah.
But I remember, because I, you know...
Because you've Googled me.
Well, I've Googled, but I think, at the time, I was aware that you were relatively new to the scene at that point. I mean, you'd won the Chortle Student Comedy Award in 2009 and sort of reached the finals and won a couple of other big comedy competitions, and all of a sudden you're on BBC One Primetime.
It's crazy, really, isn't
That's
it?
That's quite the leap.
Yeah, I didn't quite realise how many people at the BBC had to sort of okay that as well, and how many people must have been like drunk or...
And how many people you slept with. I mean, that was...
Did get... Terry Wogan had a lovely evening. Me and Terry.
Yeah, he's never been the same since, has he?
Whenever you watch Terry Wogan now, it's just like a slight sadness, like a melancholy. And that's as a result of the burrito burns.
Mm, yeah, that, and when you originally, I imagine you did your Irish impression again, Tim, as you walked in, and that that just set the tone.
Diddly-dee.
Let's talk about some stuff that you've got coming up, because you've had an amazing year this year in terms of what you've already achieved. Your Edinburgh show, your first hour, Some Lice It Hot, did very, very well.
Yeah, thanks.
Not only was it nominated, you were nominated for Best Newcomer, it was also, in my mind, the best title of Edinburgh.
Bless you.
I loved that. For me, it was second only to Westlife's Sinatra tribute album, Allow Us To Be Frank, which...
yeah, that's a good one. Well, thank you. I'm a bit worried that Sean Walsh might take my sort of best title thing away, because he has done like a few puns.
Oh, he'd had Sean to Be Wild this year, wasn't it?
To Be Wild was last year. This year it was Yin and Yang, I think. But Carl Donnelly has come up with a name for him for his Edinburgh show, which is Sean on the Cob. Which I think is pretty good.
How long have you been sat on Some Lice It Hot? Because that's something that, you know, you could feasibly have been thinking about for the last 20 years or so.
Not that long, actually, because it was going to be called If Joe Lice It, Then You Should Have Put a Ring on It. but that was too long for this year. So we might go with that next year. I don't know what, because a lot of people have heard that now, because I talked about it on a couple of things. So whether that will actually make the... There's so many of them.
Mm.
Drop It, Lice It Hot. Do You Really Lice It? Is it Wicked? Loads of them.
Oh, the list is endless.
Yeah.
But that show, Some Lice It Hot, is coming to the Soho Theatre.
Yes, it is.
In February of 2013.
Buy tickets now, the perfect Christmas gift for people who have heard of me. If you haven't, then you might be disappointed. Yes, it's on at the Soho Theatre in February, 6th to the 9th.
Yes.
remembered that.
Yeah, very well remembered.
Thank you.
No prompts needed.
No prompts needed. And it will be a laugh.
Well, it's to be hoped so, Joe.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed I can remember it, because I did it in Brighton a few weeks ago, and because I hadn't done it since Edinburgh, I was like, how does all this work now? And this all had to remember as I was going along. I managed it, but gosh, it was weird, yeah.
Well, if it's anything like this appearance, Joe, I think people have nothing to be worried about. You've been lovely.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you again for coming on. It's always good to have you.
Thanks, ma'am. Bye-bye, Dave.
Bye. Ta-da! We've got through another podcast, listener, so give yourself a pat on the back, however unusual that may be or awkward it is to perform in a public space. In fact, especially do it if you're in a public space, because you want people to know how proud you are to have conquered another podcast summit. Many thanks to your Sherpas for today, Sam Simmons, Joe Lycett, and of course, the delightfully sounding Rob Beckett. We'll be back again next week with more ear-friendly badinage. In the meantime, give our blog a gander over at joindave.co.uk/podcast. Search for us, The Dave Weekly, on iTunes, or tweet us at @join_Dave and me at Ben Shires. Until then, toodles doodles. The Dave Weekly is a Pixiu production for Dave, hosted by me, Ben Shires, and produced by Joel Porter.
Would you give your mum, dad, aunt or that uncle who hugged your partner a little too long free access to your phone?
Oh, no! Oh, my God, it's a really long video. Ew!
In Dave's brand new YouTube original, Get Off My Phone, we've got six comedians to give their phones over to a relative with total freedom to read messages, DMs, photos and browser history.
Where's your search history?
Sorry?
What to do, tips for relief.
The rules are simple. Their relative can read anything they want and even make calls from the comedian's phone.
What is this? What is...
I don't want this one.
That looks really bad.
Starring Tanya Moore, Anya Magliano, Finlay Christie, Travis J with his mum Angie Lamar, Hayley Morris, Grace Campbell and dad Alistair Campbell.
Slightly sexually compromising people.
Divulging their deepest digital secrets.
What the hell is happening?
Get Off My Phone, a Dave YouTube original. Available now on Dave's YouTube channel.